Good afternoon. This is the Wednesday Neurodiverse Freethinkers meeting, and today's speaker is Alina A.
Hey there, my name is Alina A, and I am definitely a food addict. Among other things, I usually introduce myself as Pickin' A because I have been to many different programs and I qualify for a lot of different programs. One of the things I adore about the 12 steps is that only the first step talks about our addiction. The other remaining steps are all about our recovery. And I don't know where I would be. I can make some pretty ugly guesses, but I do not know where I would be without the 12 steps. Do you see that, David? She's asking for the screen share to be ended.
I'm sorry. Oh, the screen share. I forget that. Okay.
All right, we all set? Okay, yeah. So we're talking about the 12 steps and what a lifesaver they are. And I had gotten some recovery in a couple sister programs. And then in February of 2012, I had a brain aneurysm bleed, which put me in the intensive care unit for more than a month. And when I came out, we didn't know. I mean, my kids were making all kinds of plans. And was I going to be able to work? We didn't know. Was I going to be able to walk? We didn't know. It just shuffled the board there. And I remember then they sent me to a place called the Bryan Center, where I learned to walk and talk and all that good stuff. And I remember it was March 8th, which is my recovery birthday for another fellowship. And I was walking along and I was saying, dang, no celebration, nobody singing, nobody nothing. And this amazing being came up from within me. And I believe that that is like a guardian spirit. I call her my warrior. And she came up and she said, you are alive and you are walking. And that set the tone for the next, well, still, I'm alive and I'm walking. And I don't take that for granted anymore. I used to. But I just don't anymore. And then learning to put bumpers up. You know, when you take kids bowling, how you can have them put little bumpers in the lane so that the bowling ball doesn't go all over the place. That's what I've done in my life. So I don't have good memory retention. I didn't realize how bad it was till I took this recorded class, and I'm listening to the class and I'm thinking of a question. And I write the question down, and then I hear a voice ask that very question. Anybody want to guess who that person asking on the tape was? It was me. I had no memory. I mean, it didn't feel familiar at all. So some of the wonderful bumpers I put up is that when I'm leading a project at work, I save everything. So the meeting minutes, all that stuff, I put it in what I call a living document. And it starts from the oldest and goes to the newest. And then before the meeting, I read the living document and refresh my brain. And now I have a really clear, accurate picture of what's going on and what the open actions item are. So that's worked out really good for the work front. For the home base, I record things in my phone. I either send an email or I have this little thing called notes, and I just put stuff in there. Every now and then I get busted, though, because I love going to movies, and I'll see an ad for a movie, and I'll say to my kids, oh, I really want to go to that, and they give me the look, and I said, okay, let me guess, we already saw that, and they said, yeah, and I say, well, did I like it? And it's interesting that that'll shift, too. I mean, I'll watch a movie one time, and I'm like, oh, I love this movie, and I'll watch it another time, and go, this is a terrible movie. One of the ones that comes to mind is Forrest Gump. First time I saw that, I couldn't stand it. I thought it was mean. I thought it was cruel. I did not like it at all. And then a couple years later, I watched it again because somebody that I really respected said, it's a really great movie. Give it another try. So I did, and I, sure enough, I ended up really loving it. So, but my brain is like, the other thing my brain started doing, which is kind of fun, I call it the jukebox from hell. And what it is it's the songs that just play. And one minute it's a song that I learned in Girl Scouts when I was like you know, little. And then the next thing I know, it's a tune, a rock tune from today. And then it just plays this crazy stuff. And I have absolutely no control over it at all. So I just got this entertainment in my head. And then the other thing that happens is I didn't have just the one brain aneurysm. It is the gift that keeps on giving. So a couple of years down the road, all of a sudden I'm seeing a light show that other people don't see. And so I went to the neurologist and they said, okay, Lou, we're going to get some tests run. And they did. And what we found out is that there's a part of my brain that's actually dead. It's and there, this therapy that was trying to bring it back was actually causing this trauma. I don't know what it was, but it was causing these weird lights and this flashing and this weird headache. And so we said, nope, we're not going to mess with that anymore. We're just going to take what you got and be grateful for it. And I think that's what gets me by, is the attitude of gratitude for what I have. I used to love to wear, I would wear these high boots with these high heels and just loved it. Mm-mm, not anymore. I got to wear flats. And my great joy was driving around in the car with the windows down, the heater on, singing like a crazy person. Can't do that anymore either. I took a drivability test and they said I would be a danger to myself and others. So I said, that was hard. It was hard to surrender that driver's license. They don't ask you for it. It's an honor system that you're going to turn it in. And I did some prayer and meditation. I said, you know what, Alina, it's too tempting sitting in your, you know, you got a car out front that you could jump in. No, going to turn that in. And then I sold that car that was such a temptation. And then just accepting what is and what's going on in our home right now is an excellent example of that. We were infested with bugs. We worked with the landlord and they were going to take care of it and do this and that. And then they sold the building. I'm like, okay. So the new guy comes in and then my foot got run over and then the COVID hit. And I'm like, I let it go for a while. And then lately I've been trying to work with the new owner to try to get him to take care of things. And what they decided to do was to move us to another apartment. They were supposed to show us the apartment 2 days ago. Here we are, taking off work. I got a mover standing by, but, you know, and so my higher power is saying, just be patient. And some of the feedback I've gotten from this amazing being that talks in my head is I'm very good at making things happen, but I need to work on allowing things to unfold. And then I was doing a serenity prayer the other day and I said, you know, I've come a long way in the acceptance and I got a lot of courage, but that wisdom to know the difference, sometimes I'm just absolutely clueless on that. And that's when the voice said, and that's why you need a conscious contact. And whether sometimes that contact will be call your sponsor, others will be talk to so-and-so. And I know it's not me because there's not ideas that I would normally have, but I absolutely love the program. I love the way it works. I love the fellowship. I love the meetings. I especially love this meeting. It's been a wild and wacky 32 years, and I absolutely adore it.
Thank you, Alina. I'm assuming that's the end. Thank you very much. And I'll stop the recording now.